Praise the Lord. Yeah. So now, Matthew chapter 9. Now, you know, yesterday, and I'm going to move very quickly because I have something very straightforward that I want us to look at this morning. And the work of the ministry is a practical thing. There was an observation somebody made that, you know, blessed my heart. And he said that usually people who go to Bible schools, that they learned, and I know that because I teach in Bible schools, so I know exactly what you're saying, that they learned a lot of theology, a lot of education. But the way they taught them in the Bible schools is like they can only pastor small churches. There's nothing practical and usable that you can use. And it can go to any degree. You know, some of us will go to universities, particularly in Nigeria, where you may even study computer science without seeing a computer. I think you know what I'm saying, right? So you have the knowledge, you can describe the computer without seeing it. So really, that the Bible school should have usable knowledge. Things that, because some of the times the people that lecture in Bible schools are not pastors. So they can't transmit the theology into practical use. And as much as application should not be the first thing in theology, it has to be there. It's not the first thing. If you start with application, you're going to preach error. Understanding, critical, proper interpretation, very critical, contextual study, critical, but there must be application. Because if there is no application, then what you said doesn't make sense. It must be applicable eventually. But you can't start with application. If you start with application, that means you are building a house with no foundation. But the key thing is that imagine building a foundation and there's no house. You can't live on the foundation. Or living in a house with no foundation is going to crack one day. So both the foundation and the house structure itself, they are very critical. Am I making sense? So Jesus said that they can't use it. So when they attempt to pastor, you know, all they will be thinking of is just teaching and teaching and teaching and not necessarily the practical experience. So that's why some Bible schools have changed now. They'll take you out on missions. And I even think, this is my opinion, and I've said it in some fora where Bible school provosts were there, that why not attach the Bible school to a local church? So that when, as you are teaching, they are serving. Because the end point of theology is service. If service does not happen, then it's just knowledge. There has to be service. So where are you using it? Where? You know, there was one of my friends who did, she studied in UI. I mean, she hears this, I don't know. She just realized it was studied in UI. She made second class offer, almost the best graduating student. So she went to the UK for the masters. And they now asked the question. She now gave the answer off her. You know, Nigeria now, everything D. So the man said, oh, good. Can you come and explain? She called Hook. Because he just downloaded the thing. He said, no, you can't. He's here with people to cram. In the university, I was wondering why we were cramming. So in legal practice, nobody's going to ask you to cram. You read out what you want to say. So why did you not teach us to cram? We just like hell before heaven. But what I'm trying to say is, there is that practical aspect that is beyond. There was one time like we were having, I think it was Bible school in Lagos. So someone asked the question that had to do with experience. And I said, no, that would be for doctor. Why? Because experience in that will trump any information you're about to say. The experience and the information is what will bring the practicality. That is why when a pastor is teaching, you will know. You will know. Because you are going to be able to have usable, real life experiences. It has to be experiential. I like what the Reverend Mark Hankins will say. He said the Holy Spirit is given to us to take the theology of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and put it into our everyday experiences. It has to be practical. It has to be applicable. Look at how Paul wrote his letters. Husband, love your wives. That's practical. Wives, submit. Children, obey. If you are an employee, you know, treat your, submit to your employers. If you're an employer, treat your people right. The citizens of the country should pay taxes. Practical. Forgive one another. Give. He told them how to give. He didn't just say, you know, giving is from the Greek word didome. Didome. You just say didome. From the another word, grace, which is charis. Charis. Then that's the other thing. And then you give from your heart. Kadia. Didome charis kadia. To bless the saints. Hulegio agios. Then it's time to give offering. They're not speaking in tongues. A pastor will say, pledge. Direct. Bring out your money. So after we have done the didomi, now let's talk about what you are didomiing. Paul says, let each man lay in store as he has prospered, that there will be no God, this is where I come. That scripture sounds like some arrogance. Like, please put the money down. Don't come and disturb me when I come. But put it down. As you are prospered. So he's telling you what to give. So the New Testament didn't tell us what to give. It's not true. New Testament didn't tell us what to give. Oh. Double honor. Double times two. Amen. Uh-huh. So that is practicality. Something we can use. Amen. Something we can use. Usable. So we take our theology into everyday experiences. In the ministry, what can we use? So now, yesterday, you notice that we now went into some detail. We said, Matthew 9, let's just go through our protocol. Matthew 9, 36. He had compassion on them, they were like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said, the harvest is plenty, the supremes are few, 37, 38, the harvest, 37, 38, 37, 38, 37, 38, amen. So, Matthew 4:19, you follow me and I'll make sure to me. So, we said that we are shepherds, we are fishermen. Now, let's now see the fish and the sheep. We said yesterday that you must identify, you must know the difference. I thought we saw it, right? The multitudes. The multitudes are not here. The multitudes. You know that there was no invitation for this one. All that pastor needs, doctor needs, is just to say, guys, we are meeting tomorrow. There's no, nobody does, did a flyer. Nobody did. Nobody is going to, we just, in fact, for such, we just send a text. Okay, it's tomorrow, 4 o'clock. But you can't do that for the multitude. Multitude, you do, steady days of glory, a time to hear the word. You say, ah, I will be there, you know. But not you. You have to be there. You understand? So there is the 3, there is the 1, there is the 12, and they're all different. Then the 70, eventually the 120. So we must know the difference so that we don't get distracted. Jesus didn't get distracted by those who wanted miracles. They will always want miracles. He didn't get distracted even by the Pharisees. They will be in the meeting, in the multitude. They were just looking for what to quote. There were people who will come to service, even who join online. They are just looking for something that doctor is going to say, that pastor is going to say, so that they can quote it. That's what they are doing. There was one guy like that. He just came in. Is this thing like, I wanted to mention the church. He just came to our meeting. So I was preaching, and I said, this was in 1995, and I said, the blood of Jesus is a curse. Now, how can somebody get on the pulpit? And that's all he said for 3 hours. The blood of Jesus is a curse. The blood of Jesus is a curse. The blood of Jesus is a curse. You self that believed it, you need help. Jesus is a curse. Jesus is a curse. Jesus is a curse. You know? And what I was saying was this. I said, in the Old Testament, it's the priest that used the blood. And they used the blood exclusively for the people. That if you are not a priest, and you are using the blood and pouring it on people or yourself, that, are you sure that you are not bringing a curse on yourself? Because if you don't, if you are not a priest, and you are functioning in the priest's office, it's a curse upon you. The guy just summarizes it. The blood of Jesus is a curse. And he went to town. And he kept saying it. That boy is an heretic. That young evangelist that jumps all over the place, teach, is an heretic. Up to this day, just like Jesus' resurrection, some people still believe it. There's nothing you can do about it. But don't bother your head with me like that. Even if you explain it and you show them the fingernails, I say, touch my side, they will not believe. Some people are sworn not to believe. If you now focus on them, it's not what you say that will convince them. And they will be in that multitude. You know, Jesus said, it's not for your miracles. We can see the miracles. It's what you said. And you know the thing is, at the time when they were now going to crucify him, they looked for evidence. They kept saying, they brought some witnesses to come and lie. When those ones are saying, no, throw these ones away, these ones are useless. They couldn't find anything. You would have wondered, with all the things they amassed, nothing. Is it nothing? But he was focused. Amen. It's very important to be focused. Very, very important. You know who the sheep is. Don't forget, we didn't say that your focus is only on the sheep. Don't forget that, oh, because we are still reaching the world. Yes, sir. That focus on the sheep is for that world. So it's just priority. At this moment, the priority is on our 3, our 12, our 70, our 120. So in Mark 3:14, it says that they might be with him. So we said yesterday that discipleship, Matthew 11:28-29 and 30, involves observation. To observe. You will see that some things, when you are preaching in the cell group or in the zone, you picked it unconsciously from doctor. Unconsciously. You know, because, and there are those you will pick consciously. So that is what it is. To pick out, you observe. Sometimes you even observe how questions are answered. When he's asking questions, when he's answering questions, you just observe. How did he answer this one? You see the wisdom, he skipped something deliberately. Sometimes you can ask if you have the access. I notice how you answer that question. You skipped it. He will smile and answer you. You are not learning it for now. Also for later. You will now practice your own when there is no camera. You now say, you now think about how that thing was answered. You answer it. You may even make some error, but nobody is seeing you. But you are learning. So, and interestingly, you know, with the 3, the 1, the 12, the 70, and the 120, you are also building experience. It's very critical. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice something that Paul says here, then we'll get into some very great key details. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 6. He said, not a novice. Okay? Now, that word novice is similar to the word neophyte in the Greek. Not a novice. Lest being lifted up. That is, the person that will be a leader will not be a novice. Now, there are translations that have said, not a new convert. I think NIV uses that, and I disagree with them. Of course, translations are like that. You always have the choice of many narratives. Not a new convert. No, it's not talking about not a new convert. is saying not somebody who is inexperienced. So we are now open to inexperience about what? Now, if we read down, you will notice he now brings in the deacon. Now, people have associated the deacon with the non-ministry part of the body of Christ, where, not preaching, pardon me, where what you are basically doing is taking care of natural things. It's not true. The deacon is today's associate pastor, who is observing. So that Paul says that he will now purchase for himself a greater degree, which means that it is like a proving office where we prove you. The deacon is also supposed to hold the mystery of faith, which means he's also a preacher. And we saw the example in Acts 6 that Stephen and Philip were preachers. So it's a proving office. But interestingly, you know, they prove them with natural things. Prove them with money, prove them with departments, units, and all of that. Inasmuch as they are also preaching. So, who is this bishop? Who we call a pastor? A bishop is a pastor, an elder in the church. He's somebody who is not inexperienced. That means we have watched him over time. In Acts 6, for example, you notice that they said, when they came to Paul, I'm sorry, that's a Paul, the apostles. And they said, you know, they were widows who were neglected in daily ministration. Then he said, it's not reason that we should be going to God and serve tables. Look amongst yourselves. 7 men of honest reports, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Look at that wisdom part. Which means that we have seen how they handle things. Whom we may appoint over this business. So, these people that we will now put over lives must have passed through that stage. Which means that the novice Paul is referring to is somebody who is inexperienced in the work of the ministry. He's inexperienced. That is, he hasn't been tried or tested. If you've ever had a sermon when you were probably younger to preach, and you will store up all the scriptures, you are praying. By the time you get on the pulpit, the scripture is first rapture. All that gra-gra will leave you. That is experience. So there's that experience is what he's talking about. Practical, usable experience in the work of ministry. So he said, whoever will be over people's lives must not be a new fight. Let's call it Nigeria way, JJC. We must have seen you, we must have proven you, we must have tested you to a large degree and to a large extent. Are you here? Good. So now, notice what we now said yesterday, that Jesus brought the 3, the 7, sorry, the 12, the 70, and the 120 to himself. What was he doing? Now, Acts 1 and verse 22. I'll start from 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time. So, a key thing is that somebody who is always in the meetings is always around. Don't forget that none of these guys knew Jesus was going to die. None of them. So, who were always with us all of the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out. Notice the word in and out. That means that they were in the public meetings, they were in the non-public meetings. So, the people here will definitely be part of the 70. Are you with me? Part of the 70. So, it says, not in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, the most relevant event. Not somebody, we can put that guy in charge of that cell group. I've known him since secondary school. So, in secondary school, the baptism of John for you. Maybe there's somebody that is very, very, very close to doctor, and you were together, but he didn't come to you with him. He just stayed somewhere. Then he now comes here and says, doctor, in those days, eh? Which days is he talking about? In the 70s and 80s. Ah! You know, sir, I can handle a zone for you. You look at him like this. That's not the relevant experience. The relevant experience is from the battle of John. When this ministry started, where you did? We are going to stand for bridge to watch games. How will we use you? Sorry, what did I say? what did you go to? Hey, you know, I had to take care of some things, you know, I had to. But I'm here now. After how many years? You go through membership class. Oh boy. You pass through the motion. He will now see somebody who he had never known. A younger person. The other say, see, that guy is now the zonal pastor. Say, I know, don't tell me, your guy. Ah, this person. Where was he? When your father has a carpenter shop. Remember, I know your father. One Joseph. Nah, Uncle Joe. They say, oh boy, this is not family business. From the baptism of John. Who went in and out with us? Who was there at the crucial moment, the bad moment, the not too good moments? So that is the person Paul is saying, not a new fight. Somebody who had been there. Now, why is that critical? Because, listen, in Matthew 10, there's a way the Matthew 10 verse 1 to 5, there's a way the scriptures are written that they are not verbatim. They are not verbatim. The scriptures are written in a way that they are summaries. They are summatives. You notice that in the book of Acts, for example, you see something that happened in 3 years written in two sentences. Every time you read things like, he taught them saying, it's not like God will go and say, blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the, no. Saying means that if we now summarize what he taught, this was it. So you see that the things he said, say, blessed are the meek, took him 4 days. Are you following what I'm saying here? Good. Now, so what is the critical part? Why you have to be in and out? Because in Matthew 10, a charismatic Pentecostal may not like the next statement, but it's fine. In verse 5, I will share a bit of it yesterday. He said, go to the way of the Gentiles, not to the way of Jesus, into the city of Samaritans, enter ye not. Specific instructions. Imagine saying, we are doing outreach at this road. And you say, can't we just be allowed to go anywhere? No. He gave them where to go to. You don't say, but don't you love the whole world? No. He said, this one is not for now. So, when we are in a local assembly, we don't run personalized ministries. Every call you had before now, let it drop at Waniba Road. As you are entering, drop all those visions and calling at the road. As you enter, it is what we are doing that you shall do, and it shall be done. Amen. That's why I said it's not good. Pentecostal will not like this one. You mean, are you saying I don't have the Holy Ghost? No. Yes, you don't have. Go not this way, go this way. So beware. Now, one more. Go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. As you go, let's see the next statement. As you go, can we say, give me your teaching notes? He gave them what to say. Give me your teaching notes. This is your teaching notes. As you go, this is what you are going to teach. You mean I can't decide? No, you can't. Go and teach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely you shall give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass. Specific instructions. No script for your journey, neither two coats nor Shoes not yet slaves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. There abide till you go hence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive you. That means he gave them so that if there's a place they don't accept you, leave. No, say, but pastor, you think I should leave? What if I have boarding for you? He said, leave. Did you notice he gave specific instructions? This is different from the crowd. Instructions. Those who are learning and following, follow instructions more than just information. He told them what to carry, what not to carry. He gave them instructions. He gave them warnings. He gave them caution. So, which means, when we are in a local assembly and we're having one vision, one purpose, what we are preaching has to be the same. It has to be the same. Now, notice in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. In case you say, well, that was before Jesus died, you know, before the resurrection, you know, these guys are just wait. And verse 18. All authority, which is the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is the word make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look at that 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever that I commanded you. So, what I told you is what you should tell them. So, as a cell group leader, as a fellowship pastor, a zonal pastor, I teach only what my pastor teaches. Does that make sense? I don't quote people my pastor will not quote. Let me make it a bit worse. I don't quote Chris Anoyinka. No. In fact, the way I can say it, if I'm a cell group pastor, and even in my pastor's teaching, doctor now mentions Chris Anoyinka's name, I'll say, doctor said Chris Anoyinka said, amen. Up of Jesus. Thank you. I won't even quote his friend. I won't even quote, no. The things I have commanded you. Are you here? To observe the things I commanded you. So, did he give them what to preach? He did. He gave them what to say. Which means that one, the focus is the same. The message is the same. Now, you know, yesterday we also spoke about how if you are the leader of a group, you know, you can have an emphasis in your own zone, you know, because you've prayed, I mean, you are taught by pastor to be led. But that emphasis is from pastor's teaching, though. That emphasis. Which means that at any point in time, anything I'm preaching, the reference point should be pastor's teaching. Now, some can say, well, that was Jesus now. That was Jesus. Ah, that was Jesus. Hold on, we'll get there now. That was Jesus. It's just having, that was Jesus. Ah, it's only Jesus that. Just relax. Let's start from the basic one. So, we have a responsibility to maintain the same things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul, notice how he describes Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, first, verse chapter 2. It says in verse 10, Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra. With persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered out of me them all. Now we normally go to 15, but something preceded 15. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things thou art learned. Where did he learn it from? Paul. He says, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt it. Learnt them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, the word here, breakfast, is not saying from a child. That is literally, this is actually his spiritual status. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, where did he know it from? You see the connection? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, this is Timothy. Imagine if somebody, Timothy at this point, by history, was already overseeing a church of at least 10,000. Is experienced. Paul had written about Timothy in Philippians 2 from verse 19, how he found, in fact, the way he said it, he said, I don't know anybody. I don't know how the others are going to read that letter. I know not one single person. There were those who say, if Paul can just have one person, be grateful that God has given you more than one. Who is like-minded? Who will do what I will do, even when I'm not there? With all of that, he's still giving him instructions. He's still telling him what to teach. You know, you're like, but Timothy's already a pastor over pastors. No. You don't run out of discipleship. You don't graduate. He's still writing to Timothy what he should teach. Imagine telling him who to avoid. He said, look, this person has withstood me. He will withstand you too. He will stand you too. So, he's still writing to him what to teach, reminding him. Because see, the truth of the matter is that we usually forget. Martin Luther once said, I preach justification by faith every week because every week my people forget. We all forget. So, he's writing to a man who has been with him for years. A man who is over churches and still instructing him. Look at chapter 4 now. I charge you. He's not suggesting, no. He didn't say, I sense. Nope. I charge you. Is that a command? I charge you. I charge you. Before God, Lord Jesus, who shall judge, as a prayer in the kingdom, preach the word. Imagine. To a pastor of pastors. Preach the word. Be instant in season out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Imagine writing this to a pastor of pastors. Then he says, he shall turn their ears from the truth, shall be turned to fables. Watch thou all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Is he telling you what to preach? How to preach it? So he's still training him in the ministry. He's still giving him instructions. That is to Timothy. arguably the closest associate of Paul. Go and read almost all of Paul's letters. Timothy was there. Almost all. Which means that Timothy is, he was known in all the churches. Nobody should be mistaken who your pastor is. There should be no guesswork. Every church knew Timothy and Timothy. Rome, First Thessalonians, for Timothy. Timothy is mentioned everywhere. That means they were everywhere together. No one should have that mistake. He didn't mention Peter in all his letters. He didn't mention James and John. He didn't say, you know, all of us apostles. No. Timothy. Of course, the second person you probably see stronger is also Silas. Then Titus. And you can read their stories. Timothy was very clear. Acts 16. It was the church that recommended him. And this guy, no, is committed. And he followed Paul up to the last moment. Because arguably Paul's last letter was 2 Timothy. And it was still to this guy. So he gave him what to preach, how to preach it. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. I will tell you something. Verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, some people will be angry. If you say, somebody calls up my son, you say, only God is our father. So what do your children call you? Brother Shedu. Some people are just silly. It's not your business what anybody calls their pastor. Is he your pastor? So they say, I don't believe all this papa. Did they put it in your mouth? Some things are just ridiculous. And in that, you know, if they see rich people, they'll say, ah, baba. It's just hypocrisy, really. It says, my son. It's not biological. You know, someone was trying to twist the scripture. He said, when Paul called the church, I said, Paul called the entire church in Corinth, my son. He said, what he's trying to say is that, you know, my followers. I said, is it even worse than what you are saying? The whole church, my son. He called Galatia my little children. People will be there that will be older than him. My little children. He didn't say children. He said, my little. Is it not written in the Bible? See, some people are just petty. That's being petty. Somebody was saying that, I don't believe in pastor's appreciation. What are you appreciating them for? Did they take your money? Why should anybody buy their pastor jet? Is your own money missing in your account? Did they collect it from you? No. Why should anybody be saying, it's worship. They just say, they're putting their pastor's picture all over the place. Is it your picture? If it's your picture now, you can sue. It is not your picture. You put the devil's picture on your own. And if you are a true worshiper of Jesus, go and look for that Jesus movie picture. Put it on your own. Everything will be fine. My son. That's what he called him. What a relationship they had. Hallelujah. My son. And the things, verse 2, which you have heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. I tell my friends, if there's anybody in your congregation who quotes me, they are my friends, I preach for them. Let the person not smell leadership. If he wants to come to my church, let him come there. Tough, right? It's me, it's good. Pastor Chris said, he said, it's not me, it's one, you know. It's just a divisive character. divisive. The same. You know, he didn't say the things you have learned in the gospel. He didn't say the things you have, you know, that the richness of the word. Of me. Amongst many witnesses. The same. Which means, when I'm going for follow up, I take my pastor's books. Amen? And there's enough books. Some people, it's not the word they are looking for. I normally beg the doctor about calming down. And he scopes me. He'll tell me, no. I'm not leaving you. I'm just in my house. So when I call him, he now say, sorry, I was having a session. That, he used to say that. Now he hides that fact. He just say, I know he's doing something. So that's consistent. What are you still doing in a WhatsApp group? Somebody is teaching you night and day. And you are still looking for WhatsApp group. You are still going on Living World Media. What are you going there to do? That is where I teach. What are you going there to do? It's not what you are looking for. The 30 days of growth teaching, have you even studied it? You know, some people, you just see different books with them. Christ for all, back pocket. God is a spirit, front pocket. The Holy Ghost is yours, breast pocket. In their bag, Jesus is Lord. Ask them, they don't know anything in those books. Have you finished studying Sunday sermon? Then you see somebody's long post on Facebook. Wow. It's wow that wants to kill you. Because spiritual growth is not weight, it's depth. Information overload will kill some people. Information overload. You know some guys like that, where we in secondary school or university, you know, they will carry big textbook. Big textbook. Thank you, sir. They got big textbook. We don't write first test. They don't go to classwork, you're not reading. Lecture, you're not attending, you're bringing. He's not a weed or guy. He's in depth. They will just be very small, little about this one, little about that one, little about that one, but nothing much about anything. Let's be focused. Have questions on the things you are. That's why if I go anywhere, somebody asks me a question about someone's preaching, I won't answer you. I'm not the one that preaches it. And somebody said, is my name somebody? Ask me the one I said. The things you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which means you have a due obligation in your cell group to teach only what your pastor has taught. If you are not satisfied, leave the church. Simple. Our pastor is not Jesus now. So if you feel somebody else is more Jesus than him, go there. But you can't stay in and be teaching the things you feel led to say. No, sir. No. That's why I said, we charismatic and Christocentric may not like this one. We may not like this part. This part is the one that people say, this looks like, this like control. That's what it is. It's not looking like it. It's not an omoimoya. No, it's not liking unto. It is. control. Have you seen a car without control before? Even TV has control. TV, you see, changes it. Imagine Jose had no control. There was one guy, that brother. We sent him to go and buy us equipment in Lagos. I was passing in Ibadan then, in the late 90s. He now brought one amplifier. I will never forget this in my life. That amplifier, he bought it. And you know, we really saved up money to get the amplifier. He got the amplifier. Said he bought it. Said, I want to take the head of so and so church. We went there together. He said, in fact, he got to the best of the best Alabama market. Okay, good. That amplifier doesn't have on and off. No, seriously. Sir, you just plug it. I was wondering, what kind of amplifier is it? So, we did, and you know, I was really wondering. I said, no, it's a new model. It's a we were not able to use it. So, we now call one guy in Lake Shop, Oscar. Say, Oscar, come and help us check this thing. So, for the first time, none of us did it. He just opened the thing. Now, only why are these guys? Brethren. No volume change. That is something without control. Technical. You know, there's we don't do control here, man. We just flow by the Spirit. Even when you are flowing with the Holy Ghost, Paul says, keep quiet. Holy Ghost, though. He's writing from my father. He says, let this one keep quiet. Let this one talk. What's that on? Control. I was preaching for a friend sometime in 1997. And we're having the Holy Ghost. So people are now rejoicing. They just got a marble pulpit. That's how this guy was rejoicing and jumping. Glory! Glory! As he got towards the pulpit, the pastor, a female, she went and just grabbed him. And he said, he doesn't give him. He wants to break our pulpit. That's control. Hallelujah. That's control. So this is not a madhouse. I should be able to, any power city campus I go to, I must have the same experience. That's a local church. Anywhere. I will only miss the fact that it is not doctor that is preaching. Anywhere. Anywhere. So told me, say, I went to one church. He was just mentioning my pastor. I said, who should we have mentioned your name? See, now you started the church. He said, Jesus. Jesus didn't start the church. The church was started by that man. He said, but is it not for Jesus? Has Jesus complained to you? Amen. Has he called you and said, oh boy, they are messing things up for me. Go and check it. He hasn't completed it. So when I'm going on follow up, the things I've heard, I teach it. We can have a system also where my zonal pastor sees my teaching notes before I teach it. Don't say, why should you see my teaching notes? Why should you not see the teaching notes? What do you want to say? What if I'm led? And when you're under authority, that lead will become copper. Amen. The things you have heard of me, amongst many witnesses. The key thing about the local church is that we have similar teaching. Similar. If we are going to produce disciples after the word of God, we must have a consistency in what we are saying. I should be able to walk into any cell group in this church, any campus all over the world. And we are all over the world. Any campus. And I'm hearing the same thing. So that if one day technology goes off and the live stream is not working and you are in Brazil, you will teach the same thing. Don't say, since the live stream has gone up, I has been sensing to say this. But now, you know, I mean, it's just an opportunity. I think it's of God that the live stream went up. So, guys, I just. Absalom. Absalom. Absalom is the guy who stays at the gate, gives a counsel different from the one the pastor is giving. Say, I know pastor said this, but I kind of feel otherwise. And I respect his authority, right? But I just think, you know, it's all about Jesus, you know. It's not about any man. You know, the doctor tells us it's not about man, it's about Jesus. So that's what I'm saying. Absalom. Hallelujah. Anywhere I get to. Any follower. Sir, are you from Power City? Because they know we say the same thing. So it will get to a point that as a burial will say, if somebody calls him for something, just say, brother, go and do it for me. He won't have to tell you what to do. And the guy has an issue with his family. Go and resolve it. After many years, he has seen him do it. He has seen him do it. Just goes and does the same thing. That was why when they saw the apostles, they said they are still not lettered, but they took knowledge, Acts 4:13, that they had been with Jesus. Did you notice that when Peter also got into trouble, just like Jesus, he was sleeping? He wasn't panicking again. He had learned. He had observed. How does my pastor respond to things, national events? How does he? That is my response. Don't you have a mind of your own? I have the mind of Christ. So the things. So as I'm planning my evangelism and follow up, I have the resources to carry it out. What I have heard, what I have been taught. So I often say it like this: when I'm taking notes in church, I have it in mind that I'm going to be called to teach this. That's why we are different. We are not the people. There's not wrong to be excited and jump. I also get excited at the word of God, but I listen with a different attention. No, said yesterday that the disciples did not know that one day they will have to put to writing what Jesus was doing. But they took enough, they were his witnesses, such that we could rely on them to give us the accurate events. And that can only come, sir, by having one pastor. Amen. That can only come by having one pastor. And following your pastor. Not following your pastor's friend. People are very curious. Anybody you quote, they go and search the person. If you say Buddha said, you search Buddha. Muhammad is Rasulullah, you search for Muhammad. They are just curious. It's not God's word they want to learn. They are just curious. Like we said, theology, the end point is service. So, in practical terms, in your cell group this week, which book are you teaching from? In your house fellowship, which of the series are you teaching? So I said, but would it not sound funny that the people have already heard those things now and are now coming on the pulpit to say it again? Is it going to wound them? Repetition is the key to learning and proper establishment. Usually, let me say this, it is when you teach it in your cell group that many people will come to a greater understanding. It's in a more private, more broken down system, set up. They're like, that's what pastor is teaching. And don't forget, I don't have to be chasing after, maybe pastor takes on, doctor takes on a series now, maybe on prayer. No, on angels. You are already teaching prayer. You just say, you don't want to impress people there that you were interviewing, you know, angels. No. That one you are teaching on prayer that he taught. Keep saying it. People hardly grasp many things at the first instance. They do, they hardly. So look at Acts 20:20. Just quick close. Over and learning something. So we must be detailed and deliberate about what we are doing. We are not confused. We are not distracted. We know what we are teaching. We know why we are teaching it. We know to whom we are teaching it. Acts 20 and 20. Here is Paul. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, and I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So when he told them to feed the church of God, it's with what he taught them. When he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, it's that 32 is what he taught them. But notice this one now. Publicly and from house to house. So we can look at it in two ways. There should always be the public meeting like this. There should also be the house to house, which we call follow up and visitation. Notice what he does in the house to house. He teaches. So our teaching should not just be in the general fellowship meeting. Same way that pastor, doctor has broken the meetings into zonal meetings, house fellowship meetings. In your own house fellowship too, break it. Have the public ones and the private ones, which is what we do and what we teach on one-on-one. Which means there are meetings, maybe your cell group is 100. There are meetings that just two of you will be there. Three. And what are you going to say there? The same thing you said on Sunday. Isn't it? To say it again and again and again. What else do we do? We pray there. We pray. Notice that Jesus had the public meetings. He also went into their houses. We found him in the house of Martha. What was he doing in the house of Martha? He was teaching. That was why he said Martha was distracted. So he was not just teaching in the large meetings. He also taught in their homes. So we must break it down into the public meetings. Have you engaged members of your church or your campus? I always forget that we have other people. Or your campus or your cell group. In what they heard on Sunday, you'll be surprised how many things they did not listen to. So in those, as it were, house-to-house meetings, then we can take questions. Questions. If they now ask me a question that is not in my pastor's teaching, I won't answer it. I don't have to answer every question. It's God that answers every question. And sometimes he delays the answer. Simple. Ask questions. So, what did you learn? Can you share with us what you learned? Well, when you hear some of those things, you will know what to say the next time. I don't think they heard this one very well. Then that's where we all now share experiences. In the house to house. It's still the same things. So, which means that we have compressed the teaching into more individualistic, localized application amongst people. Are you here? So, we must be focused, deliberate. Don't forget to the intention that we train these men and women that they reproduce what we are doing. We must be deliberate. Be very deliberate. Deliberate about what you are saying, who you are saying it to, and the results that you seek to get. So today and tomorrow, we will be visiting people who have come. You see, somebody attending the service has only done 1%. The 99% oftentimes is what we do afterwards. The 99%. So, today, tomorrow, if it's two people I want to go check up, What am I going to teach them? I must know. I must know. Sometimes it's by questions. So how was the service last Sunday? What did you learn? Well, I learned about how that Christ died for us and all that. This is good. Do you have any kind of questions? Well, I was just thinking that what if a man should commit sin and Jesus will come the next moment? You think, well, you have come 3 times. Don't be surprised. You have come 4 times. You, did you understand it before times? You didn't, do you know? So you now say, all right, come. And usually what I used to do, and I tell people to do, is I can even have a book. A person discipling must buy books. So when you are buying books at the media stand, you are not buying your own alone. But then, when I didn't have money to buy me, I will photocopy. So as I'm leaving you, I leave you with a book. So when I'm coming back, we are going to be talking about that book. The devotional is there. That one is even the easiest. So what did you read? I didn't leave it. We are letting it together. There are times we'll sit down and we'll both listen to a teaching together. What am I doing? I'm observing the person. Is he taking notes? But sometimes I'll go around church and I'll just take people's notes and check how they are writing. Some people will join Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm trying to say, right? So people, they are the way they are sleeping, they were writing like Arabic scribes. You know what I'm saying? So you observe. Together we watch the meetings, we sit down together, and good enough, pastors on air, many cities, we'll sit down together. Let's listen together. Let's take notes together. Let's, did you understand that? That is follow up. I'm following up the book we read together. I'm following up on the service. I'm following up on what you ought to have listened to. I'm following up to see whether you understood the questions you asked and I answered. Eventually, I'm following up to see that your life is transformed. So usually I'll pay attention to what they are saying. If you say, there was one guy that I went to check up. The mother was sweeping the floor. He was speaking in tongues. He said, rah, 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 rah. As I got to the house, the mother just like, I saw that, but I said, stop it! What is rah, 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 rah? 8 a.m. rah, rah, rah. What are you rah, 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 at 8 o'clock? You should have rah, 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 at 5. 8 o'clock, go and walk. Your mom is sweeping. I think it was 94, so the mother was already looking at me like, so these are the most funny. Go and rah, 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 with the broom. He now understood what I was saying. That's part of follow up. You make observations. If they are students, check their GP. That their GP is not going to the host of darkness. Oh boy, how school? Oh? You know, we're just enjoying Christ. Come, 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 come. What are your grades? Yeah, you know, I had like 6 carryovers, you know. There was all like that. I said, you know what? They had written the person to advise to withdraw if you don't do well in the semester. I said, so, you are not going to read your Bible for the next 1 month. I said, I'll read it for you. You are not going to say, I said, yes. No, I don't say you are going to be reading your books. So, there were like 4. But this particular person was one that had the issue. I will go with them to read overnight. We'll be there together. We're not speaking in tongues, though. If you speak in tongues, it's follow up. Because those things can hinder you. Young people can be very extreme. So, till the person graduated. Should I tell them your stories? About 20 years ago, when they were in university, I called them for their GP. They are all pastors now. Where is your GP? They said, I'm not saying God will do it. I went to cancel them for their exams. They thought I was going to come and give them exam keys. I got there. When I was done, they left the auditorium to go and read. Thou shalt fail. That's what I said. If thou dost not read, it's part of follow up. I sent someone to go and check their room. Their room was like hell. They are here. See where I'm saying your story. They will say, Pastor, these guys are not living well at all. They'll cook food, put the pot here, they'll do this one. I say, ah! It's part of follow-up. Hallelujah. You are seeing the life of the person. Is it transformed? Today, some of them are pastoring 3, 4, 5 churches. But the work started when we were behaving like vagabonds. Amen. So I say, it's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Oh boy, come here. It's the word and your life. It's follow up. Now, why was I able to do it? Because I've been like that. I've been like that. That is the experience. So your own mistakes, when you correct it, you will be able to now correct others. Amen. Hope you are learning something. That's the house to house part. You watch. You enter a brother's house, always dirty. But you see teachings on the same. Oh boy, you are a dirty brother. Those say, no, that's not who I am in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. You're a dirty brother. Amen. Watch how people treat their families. The wife is always frowning. But he's always speaking in tongues. There's a problem. He's always rejoicing. When I say glory, the wife just looks like him. That's part of follow up. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have work to do. We are transforming people's lives. But we must do it in a proper fashion and order. And the future is very bright. These people are going to be apostles of God, men and women of God in the nations of the earth. But just like a mother tenderly takes care of children, we must be that way and be detailed about the lives. Amen. You learn something? Let's just pray in tongues. Yes.